is how trends and fads, they come in, they become fashionable, and then they go away. Something happens, and then suddenly they're not fashionable anymore. A few years ago, vaping or e-cigarettes kind of came on the scene, and they were the big thing. It almost immediately became a multi-billion dollar industry. And then we've watched here in the last, just even in the last few months, how there have been a lot of, there's been a lot of focus now on that, and it's kind of going out of fashion very, very quickly because there are young people that have died, and, you know, and there's just all kinds of health issues now they're talking about. CEOs have had to resign from these multi-billion dollar companies and all this thing. And I look at that, and I was thinking back, because I'm going to use a scripture here in a minute that you'll understand, but before I get to that, the reason that I chose this is really to kind of make a couple of points here at the beginning of my message. There were two really big mistakes made when that first came, when that concept first. And by the way, I'm not dissing any of you who vape. Please understand that's neither here nor there for me. We have a whole smoking section out here. You know, we don't disrespect anybody for whatever they choose to do. But my point is, you know, there were two big mistakes that were made when vaping first started. Let me share what those are. Two big mistakes. Here we go. Number one, the first big mistake that was made was in thinking that it was everything. In other words, when it first came out, it was going to be the end of lung cancer. It was going to be the end of addiction to cigarettes. Cigarette companies were going to go out of business and all these things. It was going to be the savior of our youth. You know, they're not going to get addicted to cigarettes now and all those things. It's a big mistake to think that it was going to be that answer, that solution to everything. That was the first big mistake. The second big mistake was thinking that it was nothing. Well, I mean, after all, it's just a vapor. You know, you probably heard that, right? That was the whole point of that. Those advertisements were saying, "Look, it's nothing. It's just water vapor. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt anything." Now, why am I using that as an illustration? Because I believe that life is just like that. I think a lot of us make the same mistakes in life. Let me correct that. I think a lot of us make the same mistake having that kind of thinking for life here, life on earth. You see, it's a big mistake to think that our lives on this physical earth right now, in these physical bodies, is everything. This is not all there is, folks. There is something much bigger, much more significant following this life. The second big mistake, though, is thinking that it's nothing. Now, please, let me just get very personal, if I could, for just a minute. If you're here today and you don't think that your life is significant, that your life matters, please know you could not be more wrong. Amen. You could not be more wrong. Your life is very, very important. Your life is very significant. I'm talking about your physical life here. But it's a big mistake to think that life here is everything, that this is all we live for. It's also a big mistake to think that it's nothing. You see, Jesus would have us to know the truth. Let me deal with the second thing first. Please know that Jesus, and this is just, I want to say this, and then I'm going to move on to the bigger part of the message today. Jesus would have us to know the truth. Your life is precious. Amen. Your life is precious. Amen. In fact, it's so precious in Psalm 139, he said, "I want you to know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knew you before I formed you in the womb." Amen. I knew you. That means he knew what you were going to look like. He knew your personality was going to be like. You matter to somebody. Your life matters to somebody on this earth. And so thinking that it's nothing is a big, big mistake. However, and here's where the message is actually going today. But the mistake that I really want to talk about is thinking that it's everything. You see, because Jesus also wants us to know, even though he wants us to know that the time we have on this earth is very, very significant and very, very important, he also wants us to know that it's also something called a vapor. A vapor, like we saw in the video. That vapor appears, but it went away very, very quickly, didn't it? So let's take a look at the scripture where he says that. James, the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14, he said, "You are aware that you do not know what will happen tomorrow." Right now, we're all in agreement with that, right? Is there anybody here that knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Anybody? Because I'd like to go buy a lottery ticket. I mean, if you happen to know, I know. Okay. So he said, look, you're well aware. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We just heard this morning about young man that overdosed, family member of one of our family members. Look, we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. We never know what's going to happen. He said, but, and here's, this is the part that we were getting to though. He said, for what is your life? What is your life? I've titled the message today, by the way, what it's all about. This is a very good question. What is your life? What is my life? Here's how he answered it. He said, it is just a vapor that appears for a brief time and then vanishes away. Now, that right there is where a lot of people would say, see, right there, God basically said, my life doesn't matter here. That's where some people would read this. We all have a tendency to interpret things the way we want to believe them, right? And somebody could look at that and say, see, right there, God said my life is futile. Life just on this earth is futile. Might as well just get it over with, because even God said it's just a vapor. No, God wasn't talking about how short life is here on this earth. He wasn't talking about how short your life is. He was talking about how short your life and my life is here. Here. Please stay with me now. This is really, really important. Your life is so much longer than you think. It's so much longer than we think. We focus on our tiny little time that we're on this earth. It's just a vapor. All the things that happen. Now, it doesn't seem that way, does it? It seems like a long time. You know, for those who, you know, it seems, and the, now I will say that, you know, we all talk about it. The older we get, doesn't it seem like time goes faster? Yes. It does seem that way. But the truth is, you know, and especially for a young person, they look at it, it's like, are you kidding me? I'm so young. I'm 20. I'm, you know, I'm young. I'm only 54. Right? I'm only 54. And it seems so long. It seems so far away that, you know, what do you mean a vapor? And so God is trying to remind us that it's our life. If we look at just our life here, you know, that's what is a very, very short time. Now, life isn't short at all. Because once we leave these bodies, once we leave this present earth, once we leave what the Bible calls this present evil age, we're going to find that life is actually very, very long. In fact, it's called eternity. It's called eternity. When we leave this earth, we begin the part of our lives that actually are significantly long. Eternity is what it is. It means it's hard for us to fathom. It's hard for us to comprehend. But eternity means I'm going to live forever, and you are going to live forever. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Once we die, we're going to end up, this is Jesus 101. That's what I've been doing all month. I'm talking today about what happens next. What happens after we die? Every one of us, we're going to meet an end one way or the other. The next event after we die, we're going to stand before one of two judgment seats. The Bible calls them judgment seats. Let me just tell you what they are. All right? Bible says we're going to die, or Jesus is going to return to get us, and we're going to stand before one of these judgment seats. Now, as you look at these, there's one called the judgment seat of Christ. There's one called the great white throne judgment. Let me just say, until the day you die, until you take your last breath, you get to choose which one of these you stand before. You won't stand before both, but you will stand before one. There are people, and look, I'm being real plain this morning, real plain. There are some people who say, well, I choose neither. Well, by choosing neither, you actually do make a choice. By you saying, I'm going to choose neither, if you don't choose the judgment seat of Christ, then you automatically choose the great white throne. Please let me just talk very plainly and explain this so everybody understands how this works, because God is very clear about what he wants us to know. He wants us to know that our lives are valuable, but they're not everything here. But he said, when this life on this earth is over, you're going to stand before one of these two things. And until you die, until the day we take our last breath, we get to choose. But as soon as we take our last breath, please understand, you no longer get to choose. You no longer get to choose. So let me talk about these. So who will be at these? Well, first, the judgment seat of Christ, you can choose to stand before Jesus, your Savior, or you will stand before God, the righteous judge, God the Father. Again, I know some of you are saying, well, you know, you sent out an email saying this was going to be really encouraging. It will be encouraging. Hang on. We got to know the truth. We need to know the truth. People who love you tell you the truth, don't they? Parents who love their children tell them the truth, not just what they want to hear. Friends who love other friends, they tell them the truth, not just what they want to hear. And so you can choose to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you choose that by choosing Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you choose not to choose him as your Savior, you are automatically going to stand before God then, the righteous judge. Secondly, may I just say that at the judgment seat of Christ, all will be saved. All will be saved. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you make the choice that I realize Jesus is my Savior, I can't save myself, I can never be good enough, I can try, I can do all these things, I can jump through the hoops, I can get baptized, I can do all these good works, I can give money to the church, none of those things will save us. But if we choose Jesus Christ, then everyone is guaranteed to be saved who stands before that judgment seat. Amen. But please understand that everyone who stands before the great white throne, none will be saved. There will be no second chances. There will be no opportunity to say, oh, you know what? Now I realize you're real. And by the way, thinking that these two things don't exist automatically puts you under the second column. Please just know that. Please know. Now, nobody wants you there. God doesn't want you there. So you can choose the judgment seat of Christ. And by choosing the judgment seat of Christ, you can choose to stand before Jesus instead of the judge. You can choose to be saved instead of not being saved. And then obviously, the destination after that is heaven versus hell. And I think you get that. Now, the scriptures that tell us that, I'm just going to put them up there. And I'm going to read them for you. I'm not going to put them up on the screen because I want this to stay up there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, here's what the Bible says. Just listen as I read. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will receive the things done in his or her body according to what we've done, whether it be good or bad. Now please know, so Jesus is going to, we're going to stand there and we're going to give an account for what we did in this body. Do you remember when we talked about this life here, this short life here, this vapor compared to eternity, this vapor? We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we did here. Now, this is not going to be a horrible time. Please know, this is called a judgment, but this is a time where Jesus is going to say, you did this very, very well. You did this very, very not well. But he's going to put those aside, and those are going to be done. In fact, the Bible tells us he's going to wipe away our tears because we're going to cry. We're going to weep when we think about all the ways we mistreated people. I'm going to weep for all the times when I could have helped somebody and I didn't. I've told you this story. There is something that plagues me to this day. 15, 16 years ago, maybe longer than that, I don't know, my wife and I were at a restaurant. I think my daughters were with me. And there was a couple arguing at a table next to us, and all I could do was get irritated with them. And I was irritated. And then I began to think, they need help. This couple, their marriage is going to end. They're in trouble, and they were fighting, and they were horrible to each other. And we sat there, and we listened to that. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to do something. I'm a pastor. And I took my family and walked out of that restaurant. And from that very day, I can still hear their voices. I can hear their voices. And I swore to God, I still swear to God, I'll never do that again. I'll never walk away if there's a possibility I can help somebody. But we're all going to have experiences like that, aren't we? I beg God to give me another chance with that couple. I beg God for that. But we're all going to have times like that. But Jesus is going to wipe those away. He's going to wipe those tears away, and he's going to say, you know, those are things that you did because you were human and you were flesh and you were sinful and you weren't like me all the time. And so he's going to wipe those things away. But that's the first judgment. The second one, though, is the great white throne. And that we read about in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 11. And I can barely see now. I need Jesus to wipe those away. He said this. He said, this is the Apostle John, by the way, who saw the future. God gave him a revelation. That's why it's called that, revelation of the future. And he said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was not found a place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The book of life was opened, and the dead were judged out of that according to their works in this lifetime. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I read those for you to show you this is the future. So life for all of us is going to end, and then we're going to stand before one of these judgments. And when our life is over on this earth, and we take our last breath, our opportunity to choose what we're going to do will end. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, that's the introduction. That's the foundation for the message. But I could speak at length about the Great White Throne, but I think it's pretty obvious. I think the Great White Throne judgment is something that we often think of when we think about religion, we think about preaching, we think about, you know, all of this, you know, the hellfire and damnation, and that's all very, very true. But I really want to talk to the rest of us today. I want to talk to those of us who have accepted Christ. If you haven't, by the way, if the Great White Throne judgment is right now in your future, can I make a suggestion? If I were you, I would get up right now, go to the back of the room and grab Mauricio right there, and he'll step outside and pray with you, and you can switch sides. You can trust Christ as your Savior right now. You could leave your seat right now, go to the back. He'll gladly step outside with you. Matt's back there. They'll gladly step outside with you and pray with you. Or do that during, that would be great, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. You could come back in as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and you would know that the judgment seat of Christ is your destination. But certainly do that during the invitation. But I'm talking the rest of the message mainly to those of us who already have trusted Christ as our Savior. We already are believers in Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about this thing that we call eternity. I'm going to use this rope. Your life, remember when I talked about how our lives are like a vapor. We look at life and we think, man, my life is so long. If this rope were gonna, this rope is 100 feet long, so we could have 1 year we could have 1 foot make 1 year in John's life. But I'm going to ask you to use your imagination and imagine that this rope is not, it's not, Ken, I'm going to toss this to you. Or not. It's not my fault, he didn't catch it. You know, I want you to use your imagination and just imagine that this rope is eternity. Look, this is not, it's not our lives here, but it's eternity. You know, you realize how long eternity really is. Eternity, it's hard for us to comprehend because we're so bound on this earth and we think in terms of life. But can I make the application? If this rope represents, that's good enough, Ken. I think they get the idea. Appreciate you. But listen, can I ask you something? Why are we so concerned about this much that we're living right now? Do you know, this is what I meant when I said earlier, please don't think it's insignificant, but please don't think this is everything. If this is our life on this earth, and we see what eternity really looks, if we could get that in our heads, how big eternity is, but we're so concerned about everything that happens right here. We're so concerned, our lives are consumed with what happened. Here's our work and our families. This is our entertainment. These are all the things we do. These are our hobbies. All the things that we think of are important right now in our lives, they're all contained right here. Don't they seem like, when you look at it in comparison, doesn't it seem like we've got our priorities wrong? But please know this. Don't make the mistake of thinking that this is nothing either. Because for each one of us, everything that is going to determine what we have on this part that's white, everything. I would call it our spiritual status in heaven, it's all dependent totally upon what we do right here. Amen. Right here. This is why you don't want to cut this short. Because what we do here determines everything after this. What we do here determines the relationship that we're going to have with and how we're going to be viewed. What happens here is we're not going to get into it today. It's a different lesson. But there's something called crowns and rewards and blessings in heaven. Amen. It's kind of like most of us, you know, many people start to think about retirement. When do most people start to think about retirement? usually in their 50s. You know, how many 18-year-olds can't wait to sign up for a 401k? No, they're looking at it and saying, "Boy, I don't want to be a part of that. I want that money. I want that extra $18 out of my paycheck. I want it right now because I got stuff I want to buy. I want to get this. I want to do that. I want to call DoorDash. I want to do all, you know, all these things." And it's not until we get close to the end that we start thinking about, "Wait a minute, you know, boy, I wish I had when I was 18. I wish I had thought ahead to retirement." I just lost my. It's where? But we think this is everything, don't we? We spend all of our thinking, all of our thoughts are all about what happens right here. And so as I get into this, as I share this, I guess my question is first, do you believe that? I don't mean personal, I'm just, do we believe this? Do we really believe this? Do we really believe God when he says, what you do here? I read you the scriptures. What you do here is going to determine everything. After that, everything. For eternity. What you do in this vapor of a life that you have determines all of that. Do we really believe that? Because I believe if we believe that, that should cause us to live a little differently maybe than we do right now. Amen. So let me give you three things. I'm just going to give you three things this morning and we're done. I believe if we really believe that this, what we do right here, determines everything else, I believe there's going to be three principles that we should live by. Number one, I believe that we will live like there's no tomorrow. Amen. You heard that expression, right? We say, well, I'm going to live like there's no tomorrow. We should be doing that. As believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to live like we don't know we have a tomorrow. Today may be my very last day to do anything for Jesus Christ and for myself. Are you with me? Are you right? Are you with me? Today may be this may be the last time I ever get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. That could happen. Today may be the last day I have to offer my children some help, to offer my neighbor some help, to offer the gospel to somebody that I've been thinking about, but it's like I'm putting it off and I don't know. Listen, that person, the only thing we're going to take to heaven with us, the only things we're going to take to heaven with us are the people we've reached and whatever we have sent on ahead. Whatever we've sent on ahead by giving of ourselves in this time. Say, oh, you know, maybe there's a way that God will let me, once I get to heaven, maybe I can start doing some good there. Maybe he'll let me come back. No, there's no scripture for that. He said, what you do right now, he said, work while it's day. That's what he meant. Here's what he was saying. He used a parable. He said, work while it's day. This is daytime. Because the night comes when no man can work. But we're going to live with whatever we chose to do. Live like there's no tomorrow. Would that change our priorities? Would our hobby, and again, I'm not against hobbies. Please understand, I'm not against hobbies at all. I'm not against golf. I'm not against bowling. I'm just no good at those things, so I don't do them. And I don't do anything I don't think I can win. I'm never going bowling with either one of these guys. Never. I'll break his hand unless make him bowl left-handed. But look, because Tom's that good. But listen, would our hobbies really be as important to us if we really believed that the time we spend on our hobbies, please understand, the time we spend on our hobbies is doing nothing for all this. Maybe we'd spend a little bit more time with our families. You know, the time we spend out running around doing things. I'm just asking, would our priorities change a little bit? We should live like there's no tomorrow. I wonder if our recreation would be more important than our relationships are. It's kind of that way now with some people. Recreation becomes more important than the relationships in their lives. I wonder, would we still come to church alone? Well, I told you I'm going to be real plain. Would we still come to church alone, or would we be begging somebody to come with us? Would we be really trying to bring somebody with us? I'm so glad we have guests of Robert Owens. Robert, you know, loves church. He wants to bring people. We all want to. But at some point, he had to ask them, and there's others. You know, Doug had to look up his high school sweetheart. Well, she wasn't his sweetheart then. And she's gone blind, obviously, since then. Very, very wise, Doug. Very, very smart. But look, you know, but would we care a little bit more about that person we've been thinking about if we really believed that? We should live like there's no tomorrow. I wonder if God would get a little bit more of us. Hey, let me say this, and again, I'm not trying to beat you. You say, well, Pastor, we came to church today, and now you're kind of beating us up a little bit. But would we come and just sit in church? Look, if you really believe this, or would we come and serve? There's the three people who are serving agreed with that. Look, seriously, I love that you come. Please don't get me wrong. I love that you come. I want you to come. I want you to come and sit. And if that's all you ever do, I love you and I am so glad to see you every time. That's why I'm out in the parking lot, because I do. I love to see you come. And I want you to be here. And I want you to learn. And I want you to feel loved. But honestly, just coming to church does nothing for this. Serving does. Going down and spending time in our nursery with our babies does. Working with our children does. Greeting people outside does. Working, you know, going around and making somebody feel loved inside here. Going and finding out our guest names and introducing yourself and being kind. And then going out into the world and showing the love of Jesus Christ. That does something for this. That's what it's all about. So I'm just asking, would our priorities change? I think we ought to, sorry, Sherry. I think we ought to live like there's no tomorrow. Can I give you a second one? I think we should give like there's no tomorrow. Now look, if you're our guest, you will not. Please don't think that we're all about money here, because we're not. We didn't pay a lot for our building. We like it that way. We paid $6 a piece for our chairs. We're fine with these chairs. We're not about money here. We don't pressure people. I don't preach a forced giving here, and there's nothing like that. I'm just asking all of us right now, please give me your attention for just a couple more minutes. If we really believe this, the only things we're going to have here for eternity is what we gave right here. You see, this right here represents my life on this earth. When I hit this point right here, I'm done earning money. I'm done having time. I will have nothing after that point. I will obtain nothing left to give. But everything that I do give during this time, it counts for this, according to Jesus. Wow, that's not nearly, it's really going south now, Kip. Happy birthday. Look, I told you I'm just gonna be plain. There are many of us that say, well, you know, when things get better for me, then I'll do something for others. Then I'll give to Hope for the Shadows, or then I'll give to the church so we can continue to reach people. You may not have tomorrow. I may not have tomorrow. Now, please know this, and I'm going to say this, and I could get criticized for this. I am not a great example in very many things. I know that. I mean, other than good looks and health, there are a few things. Don't laugh in front of our guests. Don't laugh in front of our guests. Don't say something funny. Don't say something stupid. Is that what you said, Nick? Look, I am not a great example in anything, and I know that. But I'll tell you what, this is something my wife and I do. My wife and I give at least 15% of our income. Please know that. I didn't come to this church. When we took this church, I turned down a 500-member church making twice what I make to start this church, making $400 a month. That was my income for the first 4 months. We came because we believed in something here. We believed that there was a different, that Delaware needed a different kind of church. Didn't need another church, but, and again, there's a lot of great churches out there, don't get me wrong. We were just sort of jaded at the time, being exposed to some bad stuff. But we believed in this. And so we came here. We didn't come for money, and I won't leave for money. If you don't believe that we give that much of our income, you can see Billy. Billy knows by our giving records are open to anybody who wants to see them. My point is this. I believe this. I believe this. I believe that the things that we have right here and right now, the money that we're able to give, the time we're able to give, is going to count for this. See, because I recognize, again, and please know, I'm not going to have rewards in heaven for being a pastor. Please understand this. What I do, I just had this conversation with somebody this week. What we do, I'm well aware of the fact that the things that I do on a daily basis, I get paid to do. I'm not going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and Jesus say, oh, Pastor Eric, come on in. He's going to say, no, get to the back of the line. He said, you're a little too far forward. There's a little lady who sat in your church that she gave more of herself than you did. And she cleaned the toilets and she did these things and she did those things. That's a whole different message. But my point is, I'm only going to get in heaven the things that I do. I'll say it this way. I'm not going to get anything in heaven for what I do from 9 to 5. It's what I do from 5 to 9. Just like you. Just like you. But I believe this. I believe Jesus when he said, you got a very short time. You got a very short time to do anything that's going to count for eternity. So take advantage of it. I think we should give like there's no tomorrow. And number three, and I'm done. Number three, I also think we should forgive like there's no tomorrow. Amen. I know some of you are struggling with this. People have hurt you. I know that. Family has hurt you. I know that. Churches have hurt you. But I know that Jesus has never hurt you. And I also know this. Right now, those hurts are very real. That unforgiveness you're having a hard time dealing with right now is very real. But please know, when we get to heaven, that person that you're so upset with, they're going to be there with you. It's not going to matter. Listen, the day when we hit this point right here, when we hit this point, none of those things that happened to you are going to matter anymore. Amen. And right now, you're missing out on so much that you could be doing in this time here that will count for eternity. But some of you are missing out because you can't forgive. You can't get over what somebody did. You can't let it go. Please. Consider, even if not for that person's sake, do it for yourself. Amen. Do it for yourself. Right. Let it go. Just let it go. And say, you know what? Jesus will take care of it. Remember the judgment seat of Christ? If your view of that situation, that hurt that somebody did to you is right, they're going to be weeping. Or worse, they're going to be at the other judgment. They're going to be at the other judgment. In which case, it's not going to matter to you anymore. So my message today really is pretty simple, and I'm done. I just wanted us to see in a visual form, your life matters so much right now. Your life matters so much right now, but not because of how it's affected here. It matters so much right now because of what it means for the future. For your future, for your family's future, for your eternal happiness. So can I just say, as we move into an invitation time here, which judgment are you going to be at? Before which judgment seat will you stand? If right now you say, Pastor, boy, that's scary. I think I'm going to be standing before that one that talked about the lost. The one that talked about sin that's never been dealt with. That one that talked about being cast into hell, standing before a God. I feel like right now I'm headed to stand before God, my judge. Please know this. During this invitation time, we're going to have leaders up front here. We'll also have some leaders in the back. You find somebody and just say, look, would you pray with me? If they can't do it, they'll find you somebody. But please don't walk out of here today not knowing where you're going to go when you leave this world. Whenever that is. But then, secondly, for all of those who are part of the body of Christ right now, are there some things we need to change? Are there some priorities we need to change? Are there some habits we need to change? Is there a little bit more that we need to be doing for God? Maybe a little bit more of church, more of ministry, more of getting out into our community, more love shown to our world. Jesus said, look, let me make it real simple for you. I just want you to love God and love your neighbor. Amen. Love the people in your life. Love the people in your life. Love the people God brings into your life. could we do a little bit more of that? Would you do something about that during this invitation time? I got to believe that all of us probably have some changes we need to make. Father, thank you.